Well, I want to talk to you about flowing in the strength that God supplies. And I want to start with a prayer out of the New Testament, out of the book of Ephesians. And I want to pray this. It's an introductory scripture, but I'm going to also, I want to pray it out. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And once we get it up on the screen, we'll read it in the same translation. We're praying that, are you ready? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's original intention for us, being that we are made in his image and according to his likeness and for his purposes, was that we would connect with him and flow with him and be in his dimension. In fact, it says in Psalm 8 that he made us a little lower than God. God being exalted, God being holy, high and lifted up and exalted above all, the supreme of the universe. But yet he invites these creatures he created to connect with him and to know him and to walk with him and to love him. He gave us free will so that we wouldn't be pre-programmed robots, and so that there would be something of interaction that would be to his liking. For his pleasure, he created us. It was his pleasure that he gave us free will. Sadly, however, with that free will, Adam and Eve forfeited something so great. They're our prototype. Listen, save the money on Ancestry.com. I'll tell you right now, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. I solved the whole family tree for you. And plus, from there to here, there's some illustrious stuff and a lot of mess. All right? So, but thank God, along comes the Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Rescuer, and leaves the splendor of heaven, and he comes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in James chapter 1, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. In Psalm 84:11, it says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield." I love this verse. "He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk with integrity or walk uprightly." So God has a plan for people that the gates of hell can't prevail against. And he's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want you to look at these two verses, because this is my series on Friday nights. I'm teaching things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world, he made us in his image. We blew it, and then he sent his Son to be the Redeemer, to take the brunt of all the toxicity of our failure. He bore it on the cross, suffered and died, that whoever calls on his name will be saved. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a brand new creation. I'm going to be talking about this on Sunday. I have a handout I'm going to give out to you about so many things of who we are in Christ. It'll help you. It'll be something good for you to go to in your studies. But God then sent the Holy Spirit. He said he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. The purposes of God will ignite in the heart of every person that yields to him, that flows with him and that follows him." We're learning how to flow in the strength that God supplies. We pray that we would be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we could comprehend and know. And here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 1. It says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." One translation says ignorant. One says uninformed. One says ill-informed. God is trying to get something over to us through the Apostle Paul in the great letter to the Corinthians, for the early church to understand the empowerment that was available as a result of what happened in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem on the celebration of the day of Pentecost. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant, ill-informed, unaware, misinformed. Now, chapter 14, verse 1, if you turn the page, it says something about pursuing love, yet earnestly desiring spiritual gifts. So then it goes on and lists these gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And these things were precious treasured gifts. As Paul, for example, was going to the Gentile world and preaching and communicating the monotheistic God to a culture that had gone through Aristotle, the Epicureans, the Stoics, Marcus Aurelius, Plato, all the saturation of that kind of thought, the relativism, the pluralism, all the hedonism, the idolatry. And in shoots this laser beam of truth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Look at somebody next to you and say, I love you, neighbor. Might as well get that out of the way, because that's what we got to do. Bible says, love your neighbor, love your enemy. Sometimes they're one and the same, but we got to love one another, right? Let the love of the brethren continue. The love walk is a serious and important thing. America needs it. The Caribbean needs it. Scandinavia needs it. The Asian world needs it. All of the Americas need it. All of every planet, all of this planet. I just went into ancient aliens then. All of this planet. I don't know anything about the other stuff. It's this planet. So while I'm so far ahead here, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is compelling, and this is why I'm preaching this tonight, because I want to talk to you about flowing in the strength that God supplies. And the Bible says the Lord is the strength of our lives. And it's amazing. And while you're turning to this verse, don't put this on the screen, but Romans 5, 6 says, while we had no strength, Christ died for us. So, it wasn't like he came for this invincible, awesome group of people. He came for sinners and wrecked humanity. And he came to infuse hope and restore the relationship, the fellowship, the connection that he so enjoyed with the Father. And he came to bring that. That's what true Christianity is. True Christianity is not religious routine and cold formalism. It's a relationship, right? God sent his son with a spirit of adoption, and he had adoption papers, and he came to say, look, my father loves you so much, you sinners, that I'll come and I'll suffer and I'll die for you, and I'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and wash you and make you white as snow and make you brand new, worthy new creatures that can stand before God. And not only that, I'm going to empower you because I'm giving you a mission, because Adam and Eve were supposed to subdue and dominate and have dominion, and they blew it. So now I'm restoring that authority to the church, and I'm giving it to you via the power of the Holy Spirit. And look what it says, Acts chapter 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in the local and the regional and the national and the global. Yeah. Say that. Local, regional, national, global. My friend Paul Chase, I went and visited his church in Manila, the Philippines. And in their main office where they have staff meetings, on the wall was their statement of faith. And I looked at it, I thought, man, that is really well done. That is so good. And I was reading all the points of their beliefs. And I thought, yeah, amen. I resonated with every, we believe in one true God and Jesus Christ, his son, and you must be born again. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to avoid, all this stuff, and all the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he said, yeah, does that look familiar? I got it from you. Okay, so we take turns. Willie Nelson said to one of his friends, I think to Chris Christopherson, hey, why don't we get together at my house and we'll steal each other's songs? Meaning write songs together. And I'm not quoting Paul's right exact thing, but he said we have a city to reach a nation, to change in a world. Maybe Google it or something, because I didn't rip his off as good as he ripped mine off. He put him up on the wall. But it's local, it's regional, it's national, it's global. By that, I don't mean some sort of human endeavor. This is a spiritual endeavor. The you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is for the individual believer's walk, right? Where we go out and we carry the presence of the Lord, and we follow him, we're devoted to it, and power comes. Dunamis, supernatural power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, Jude 20 is such a powerful statement about praying and getting strengthened. I want to talk to you about ways to get strengthened. I've learned that diet and exercise, protein and resistance causes muscle to grow, and resistance can even cause bone density to improve. So when you're trudging through life and you're facing challenges, you realize that it'll all work together to your good. It'll strengthen you. The people that went on the International Space Station, they had to exercise profusely because they had their bone density diminished. They had even, there were two twins that went, one guy went up in space for a year, and he was so excited because he knew, because he wasn't in the gravity, the pressure of G-force, that when he came back and he quickly measured against his brother, he'd be at least an inch taller than him. And he was, because he didn't have gravity shrinking him down. He was most excited about that. He stayed up there for a long enough for him to stretch out. So if you want to gain some height, just call the International Space Station. Stay there for about a year. Jude 20. But you, beloved, aren't you glad you're beloved? That sounds like a syrupy phrase, but yeah, you be loved. You're loved. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, God has a prospect here where he literally is inviting believers that are loved by God to stay built up. You know, how many of you have ever exercised at one point any in your life? Okay. That's all I'm going to ask. But Scott and Tina Richard are here, and Scott, they went on a mission trip with us years ago, and I knew we were going to be walking miles and miles per day, and I didn't know the levels of fitness on everybody. Most of them were young, but still, we all got backpacks and bricks in our backpacks, and we walked the track at the high school, and we just worked it out. And I'm so glad we did, because we had to go up hills and go down hills, and we had to go through jet lag and all that stuff. God will prepare us for every good work. I said, God will prepare us for every good work. And you know, can I just tell something to you? In James 1, it says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. It's fascinating. Verse 2. Count it, consider it, recognize it's a joy, brothers and sisters, when you deal with stuff. Now, let me explain something to you about the Father. Our Heavenly Father is not sadistic, and he's not calling his followers to be masochistic. In other words, we're not gluttons for punishment. We don't relish torture. Nobody does. We're human beings. We recoil from it. But when we understand that discipline, rather than a drudgery, can become a delight, when you know it's preparation for further kingdom duties, then it gets you a little bit different in your mentality. You come away from a sense of entitlement. Why me, God? And you get out of self-pity, and you go, you know what, man, life is tough. God is good. I'm game. Let's go, right? Consider it all joy when you encounter various temptations, tests, or trials. That's what the original Greek word would mean. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay, so when we did that practice in preparation for the trip, then Scott comes home and he's like discipline exerciser. And you can tell when you see him, he's buff. In fact, he's going to take his shirt off and come up here and show us in a minute. But he's buff. Everybody say Scott's buff. All right. We got that out of our system now. But it's interesting that our earthly life in this fallen world, God factored all this in. And he knows that the trying of our faith produces this precious commodity called endurance. Listen, man, I study history. I study, current events. I look at pop culture. And what really gets me are those who endure. When I see perseverance, when I see people going at it and staying with it, hitting hard times and staying with it, keeping an even keel, challenges on a marriage and they work through it and stay together, challenges with their kids and they work through it and they develop harmony again, difficulty at school and you get a tutor or something and you work it out till you get past. I took English composition 3 times in college until I finally, it occurred to me I was gifted at it. I got an A. But up until then, not so much. And that's my story, and that's all I'm going to say. And I could spiritualize it because the last teacher took me to the cafeteria and wanted me to tell him about Jesus. So, the Lord had me fail in both of those classes so that I could go and I could lead this guy to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I failed. Well, I didn't fail. I had incomplete. That's another word for failing. But anyway. Yeah, and not persevering, and not facing off with the hard work, and not staying up and writing and thinking and having my brain feeling like smoke was coming out of my ears, But God produces strength in his people. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, among many really terrific things in that verse, conquering cities, and, being delivered from the edge of the sword. Hebrews 11:34, it says they quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Look at this. From weakness were made strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul told Timothy, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So here's really where I land. All of this is a grace, meaning it's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a gift from God. The muscles on your body, the bones, your joints, your brain, all of it's a gift. Your existence is a gift. The new birth is the great gift. And these guys getting water baptized, I was praying for them that it will be defining change for them, that they're burying the old man, rising up to walk in newness of life. In him we live and move and have our being, right? And you've got a message for the atheist that there is a God. You've got a message for the agnostic. You can know the God that I'm talking about. There's a message for the seeker that if you seek and knock and ask, you're going to find and the door will be open, right? Well, so we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. He was in the middle of a lot of stuff in the deportation to Babylon. The Jews were in captivity for 70 years. Chapter 10, verse 19, I'll read it in the King James. It says, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. There's one who speaks rashly as the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Anxiety or heaviness in the heart of a man will weigh it down. make it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. I have a good word for you. There's a God in heaven, sent his son Jesus. After he died and was buried, rose again and ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And there were gathered in the upper room 120 men and women, different walks of life, all determined to follow after God. And God deployed them, empowered. He told them in the end of Luke, go and do these things, but don't do it until you're clothed and endued with power from on high. Yes. And so there was this marvelous event that was concurrent with the day of Pentecost, which was a gathering of the Jewish people from all over the world. And they were gathered in Jerusalem. And the people came out thinking differently. Fire was distributed on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So there's an empowerment. There's a blessing. I think about in the days of the Judges, chapter 6, when Gideon and the people were under oppression. There had been disobedience in the nation. There had been failure. They were under a siege by the Amalekites. They would come in on camels and they would steal their, wait until the crop was just ripe and they'd steal it before the hungry Israelis could get their food. One day God visited a man named Gideon. He said, oh, valiant warrior. And he said, I'm the least in my father's house and I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. And he just had such a narrow-mindedness, such a defeatist insecurity, a painful limitation. The Lord was trying to chip that limitation off of him. He's trying to steer his mentality away from defeat and get him ready for what was about to transpire. And then at one point, you know, he had to be convinced by the angel of the Lord. And he said, go in this your strength. What did it say? It was in Judges 6:14. Judges 6:14, he's battling and he's trying to figure it out. And he says, go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? See, this is what we have to grasp tonight. Since before the foundations of the world, the Bible says, God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So God knew that Eric would shift from lead guitar to bass tonight. God knew Jonathan would be here and give Scott a break, and Scott would be there sitting with his sweetheart, Tina. And God knew the number of hairs on our heads and the configuration of our lives, and he let us all come together. And here we are in this house called St. Louis Family Church, a local church that is seeking God, and goal is to honor God and to help people. God orders our steps. God has a plan. And as we endeavor to listen to him and obey him, all the enemy tries to, he who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's the accuser of the brethren that accuses us before God day and night. There's a good reason in the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray that we be delivered from temptation, because the tempter is white hot, interested in sidetracking and side railing the believers. All of us. And we got to understand that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, nor are we ignorant of the things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. We don't ignore either dimension. We realize we have an opponent who's been a devil for a long time, who is a thief, who's a father of lies, who knows his days are numbered, his time is short. He's a hater and he hates God. And he hates the whole idea of the God stuff. But we who love Jesus and are called have to fight the good fight of faith. Count it all joy when we encounter trials. Look at even the maladies of our lives and go, you know, I don't have happiness about that, but I have joy knowing God can redeem it. Right? Thank you, God, for your mercy. Everybody say, thank you, God, for your mercy. It's God's mercy that got us to this point. It's God's grace that has led us here. Here we are. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by works. We're talking about gifts. I'm talking about the free gift of eternal life. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah? You must be born again, was what Jesus told Nicodemus. It wasn't a suggestion. And the new birth is radical. It's different from mental assent, because the devil believes there's a God. The surveys in America right now say about 70% of Americans believe there's a God. Well, that doesn't get you off first base. The devil believes there's a God and he trembles. But the belief has to transition into repentance and surrender and receiving Jesus as Lord. That's the new birth. And we might as well go the distance and receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. And they were filled with the Spirit. And you see this, and then we're to pray in the Spirit. And listen to what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Just the settledness that I hope comes to you through understanding the free gift of righteousness. You know, people ridicule this. It's like, this is cheap grace. No, it's not. It cost Jesus his life. He suffered and died to provide this grace to us. It's not cheap, and I'm not cheapening it by telling you the good news of it. The good news is that there's mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The good news is that his grace is sufficient. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I know you know this, but I work out at the gym now, and because I want to get stronger. I go to church because I want to get stronger. I follow through and read my Bible because I want to get stronger. I want to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. When Judy, when you lost your husband, it was painful to you. I just never forgot his smile. He must have smiled at you, his sweetheart. It was so sweet. And I miss him. And how much more you? But what did you do? You didn't cave in the paralysis of defeat and loss. You pressed through it. You cried your hot tears, but you kept pressing through. And you've got joy on you. You're strong. And you're getting stronger, right? Some of the disappointments we face, it's like, it's inevitable. Jesus even said it this way. It's inevitable that offenses will come. That's why we need to learn how to walk in love so we're not led by our offenses. But we're overcomers. And I'm not going to take the bait. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. This is getting me riled. I can feel my pulse going up. I can feel my blood pressure. Be still and know that I am God. I'm going to chill out on this. I am not going to be moved by what I see or feel. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. I talked to somebody recently, and they discovered an issue in their life, and I said, listen, you know, let's resist that. And he kind of confused it as I was downplaying his problem. No, the first step to a victory is admitting the problem. I'm just saying, let's figure out how to overcome it. And actually, the theology that's been delivered to me, to my wife and me, is that before you can command a mountain to be removed, you admit there's a mountain. So there's no denial in this doctrinal approach. Jesus said, have faith in God, speak to your mountains. When you pray, believe you receive. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, including yourself. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I see some people nodding. You're familiar with that verse. Beat a path to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus lifts you up, sets you free, sets you apart, lights you on fire, empowers you, and gets you going for every good work. Bonky preached that verse, and Kenny Loggins, the singer, was standing right there by the door. His concert got washed out at the Chesterfield Amphitheater, and somehow he found his way to our church. And it was jam-packed in here. And we had, in my mind, one of the most thunderous, wonderful evangelists of the last 100 years, standing right there, preaching this victory message. And God brought Kenny Loggins in with Reinhard Bonnke. Great, amazing, spirit-filled Billy Graham to Africa, really. And, you know, Footloose, you know. And House on Pooh Corner for the soft rockers in here. That meant a lot to me. It's the first concert I ever went to. It was Loggins and Messina and the Allman Brothers at the Hollywood Bowl in 1972. And so, you know, then all these years later, he comes in somehow to our church. And I wasn't saved when I went to that concert. I got saved a couple of months later. That was the Eat a Peach tour after Dwayne Allman had died about 3 months before, and they were trying to get their lives together. Johnny Winter played, and this may mean nothing to you except to Gary and Asher from KSHE 95, Real Rock Radio, Crestwood, Missouri. Actually, 93.7, right? Oh, sorry, 94.7. Ooh, I just lost some points. I was getting puffed up here. I was being prideful with my information. But to have that message, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. He urged us, I remember in his preaching, for us to meditate on that verse and get to know that verse and get to know and become aware of its depth and its strength. I heard a minister that's in aviation. He said, there's a law of gravity, but there's a law of thrust and lift. And the law of thrust and lift, when Orville and Wilbur Wright, who also were DJs at KSHE, at where was it? Kitty Hawk? And what year was it? 19, right? All you students. They figured out, they were the first, that was the first recorded man flight, right? And what happened was something superseded something else. The gravity that held those vehicles down all of a sudden was, they studied the wings of birds and they figured out wind resistance. And they were they had a physics mind, you know, they were bike guys, bicycle guys, but they ventured out. People said, oh, you just don't waste your time, but I'm glad they did. They pushed past the naysayers, and they figured something out. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the law of sin and death. The work of the Lord Jesus in redemption, that's why Easter ought to be a big deal to you, because that resurrection power defied all the previous oppression. And Jesus came, he conquered death, and he's taken people with him. He's saying, come on, y'all, to the whole world, every nation. He's saying, come on. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. So I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have game for this? So the word coming from weakness and into strength. I'm believing God that tonight we're receiving something from the Lord. Yeah, of strength. You know, I worked out and I left the gym exhausted. But the next time I went in there, I was able to pick up more weight. That's amazing. You know, you go through things when you're young and you develop strength and improvement. The test pilots, Chuck Yeager, started out in, you know, they would do G-force on these centrifugal machines before they put them up in the air. And, you know, it just beat them up. But in order that they, so they could get any, he's the guy that said, hey, you know, the sound barrier thing, I'm interested in breaking it. You know, and every time they got up to the edge of it, things would shake so much that all the physics geniuses were saying, And the engineers were saying, it's going to cause not only the plane to disintegrate, but your body will disintegrate. Hey, sign me up, y'all, you know? So the famous last words of a redneck. What are the famous last words of a redneck? Hey, y'all, watch this. I appreciate the Chuck Yeagers. I appreciate him pressing past a previously, or Orville and Wilbur Wright. I appreciate that the pressing past that. Bonnke, by his testimony, said that he had average, regular missionary results until he had a dream one night. And it was a concurrent dream. It happened. It was reoccurring. He saw a blood-washed Africa. And the vision of it put him in a different dimension in his calling. And, you know, God, I pray God gives you something right now, starting in this meeting. You guys watching online, whatever you're going through, I pray strength gets on you, joy comes back to you, deliverance comes to you, you get set free from whatever thing's trying to hold you down. And it revitalizes you. Revival is that which was saved gets out of apathy and gets back on fire. That we've come through the winter. How many of you have lit a bonfire, or you have a fireplace or something like that? Humor me if you've ever had a fire. Let me see your hands. Okay, thank you. Because, you know, you kindle it. You know, you put, I tear up paper, and then I put twigs, and then I put, you know, smaller branches, then I put the bigger cut up branches, and then a big old log. And then one heats up the other, and it fires up, and then it's glowing, and then there are coals. But after a while, if you let it alone and you don't tend to it, the ash starts to build up on itself. It starts to suffocate itself. And many times you go back to your fireplace and the log you put in there is only half burned because you didn't tend to it. So you got to put another log on the fire and you got to go in there and fan the flames. That's why Paul told Timothy to kindle afresh the gift of God that was in him. That's symbolic for like stirring the coals of the fire. You know, we've got those little pokers on our fireplace and we just kind of stir it. And I'll blow on it and I'll stir it and I'll move the things around. I mean, there have been times where I walked away from it and I'll come back and it's down to a little smolder. And man, I'll just get that thing going again. That's revival in the church. And the Lord loves us. And he wants to come in and he wants to stoke that and fuel your faith. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. So it'll strengthen you on the inside. I don't know what you've been going through, but man, what the enemy meant for harm, God will turn around for good. Galatians, what is it? Genesis 50, verse 20. It's all Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. God didn't cause certain things, but he causes things to work together for good. And so since we know this, and we know the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, it's good to pay attention to this. And get fortified and get strengthened in your faith concerning healing so you live out your days. You know, God wants you to live longer than you realize. Say this with me. With long life, he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Wisdom adds length of days and years of life. And the wisdom from the word that we're studying right now, it'll fortify us. It'll help us. Take care of yourselves. Tend to yourselves. Stay in the word. Like they sing in children's church, if you read your Bible and pray every day, you will grow, grow, grow. If you ignore your Bible and don't pray, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Shrink, 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 or grow, grow, grow. You pick. I want to grow up in all aspects in him. Look at somebody next to you and say, oh, grow up. Amen. Husbands and wives are going, I'm not doing that, Pastor. We're just starting to get along. Don't get us in trouble. Oh, grow up. You grow up. You big baby. No, you're a baby. No, you're a baby. Uh-uh. You said it. No, you said it. No, you said it. Our kids catch us doing that. And we are so stubborn, we don't stop. So we're really modeling some maturity there, aren't we? Let's all stand up on our feet. We're going to get ready to go. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will strengthen you with power by his Spirit in the inner man. And even better, I want you to pray for one another. When we pray for one another, God hears and he answers prayer. Now, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Of course, God wants you to be born again. He desires no one to perish, but all to have everlasting life. Now, the wages of sin is death. Hell is real, and it's something that's foreboding, and it's awful, and it must be avoided at all costs. That's why Jesus suffered and died, so we can have access to the Lord by his mercy and be forgiven. And then we get delivered out of a futile way of life, and we get brought into something that is really extraordinary. And I feel sorry for people who gain the whole world and lose their own soul. So Jesus died to save you and complete a work with you and fix the short circuit and get the circuitry back so that you're connected and in a flow, that you're flowing in the strength that God supplies. Say this with me. I'm flowing in life in God's direction, under God's instruction, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, strengthened in my inside to finish my course with joy, to identify and fulfill God's purposes. I'm trusting God. This season of my life is going to be the best yet, the most fruitful, the most God-honoring. I'm getting serious about the Lord. The people around me are noticing it. My loved ones are getting saved. My neighborhood is coming to the kingdom. The St. Louis Bi-State area is experiencing a harvest. Many souls, churches filled, Easter Sunday and beyond, with brand new eternal life in each person's case. In Jesus' name.